Hey, welcome to the NFL Outsiders, a brand new podcast all about the NFL. Get ready to deep dive into the world of football through my eyes with my exclusive interviews with my completely unqualified couch GM friends and all the latest news from around the league. I am your host, Cody. Now let's dive in. My buddy here, Brian, is with me today.
Hey, Cody. How you doing today? Pretty crazy day in the NFL.
It has been a very busy, crazy day.
To say the least. But what do you got for me today?
We can start with Mount Rushmore players, so are like non-skill players. So how does losing a Mount Rushmore non-skill position player, such as like a center, cause concern for a franchise?
Okay. I'm assuming you're talking about like Jason Kelce, someone like that.
Yep.
Okay. I feel like it obviously depends. I feel like that's a no-brainer. I'll just use Kelce for example. You know, after he announced his retirement, I did decide to kind of look up what they might have for options because I was like, okay, does this mean they might not have anything available, which I didn't think was likely. But in that case, like, would they trade up, try and get like a Jackson Powers type offensive player, offensive lineman in the draft early, or do they have someone that's kind of already sitting? And what I found is they have Cam Jurgen. It was the 51st overall pick in 2022, second rounder. Rumor on the street is that Kelce had, in a sense, handpicked him to kind of replace him because at that time they were thinking he maybe had a year left because that was all that was left in his contract. Yep. And so I think that just kind of was allowing them to bridge the gap because he's been playing right guard, I believe. And so I think it'll be relatively seamless, especially if he's been able to watch Kelce.
Right. And I know they also got Landon Dickerson that's been playing guard for him as well. That was a former center at Alabama that could maybe even slide over, go back to his natural position. But he also got paid a crap ton. I believe he was the highest paid guard at the time. And I think that already got broken again today. But
yeah, you can't go wrong with any of the Alabama linemen. I feel like very few of them are really bad, and then the rest of them, at the very least, are viable starters, if not a good backup.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I think they'll do just fine, especially because their O-line is still
that Eagles O-line
fully
is
intact.
Yeah, so it's built. It's built from the ground up, man. That's a tough O-line.
Yeah, I agree. But if you were to say stay on the offensive line, if you were to move to like a left tackle position, not that Jason Kelce isn't generational, the best, whatever you want to say about him, I do think losing like an all-star left tackle, like let's say San Francisco, for example, if you know, Trent Williams up and retired kind of without any notice, I think they would be in a real scramble to try and figure out what they're going to do at left tackle because how do you replace Trent Williams? Because he's an absolute animal.
So. Right. And you see it like he came from wherever it was, Washington, I believe. You see Washington now and they have no protection for a quarterback. And it's like, well, yeah, you didn't pay the guy that was there.
Like, yeah, it is tough. It's weird.
There's a balance. You definitely have to have a good O-line for your quarterback to be good. You can't just go out with a mosh pit of nobodies up in front of somebody and just expect your quarterback to figure it out. It needs a little bit of time to read the defense. So
exactly.
You can see it from Minnesota. Being a Minnesota fan, it's been tough watching have Kirk Cousins be an okay quarterback or pretty good quarterback, whatever you want to call him, to not have an O-line to give him any time of day. And then it's like, well, yeah, he keeps fumbling the ball. Well, yeah, he's got 2 seconds to figure it out.
Yeah, and that's an exact, not to keep going back to the Eagles, but that's the exact reason, in my opinion, why Hurts, because Hurts also had a year, I think it was just 1 year, maybe two, to sit and really learn what it's like to be in the NFL, yada yada, which I think is a key to quarterback success, in my opinion. But he also had arguably one of the top five, at the very least, O-line units in the league.
You can argue it going back to Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Too.
If you got time to figure out what you're doing as a young quarterback, I think that's just the best way you can do it. It's live reps, but you're still allowing yourself to get a little bit of time. I just don't think there's anything more valuable than that as a quarterback.
Right. And then for Wentz, you had Jason Peters, Kelsey, and still Lane Johnson. Like, that's still an insane three. Your two tackles and your center. Like, after that, you don't need much.
Arguably the three most important positions on the O-line.
Right. It really is, because if they can single-handedly take people, you can help in the middle.
Yeah. So. It'll be interesting. I think, obviously, to circle back to your question, I think in the Eagles' position, I think they have it well set up where they're not going to panic. I think they're pretty well set and content. But in other cases, I think it could be pretty catastrophic if they are blindsided by it.
Yeah, for sure. But, I agree.
Yeah. One thing I did want to bring up with you, actually, is obviously today was hectic. There was a lot of names getting thrown around. But the other day, Russ had been released and has since been picked up by Pittsburgh. It was a 1 year, $1.2 million deal, I believe.
Yep.
And I cannot understand the release. I don't get it. Whatsoever.
He's not good for the locker room. That's always been the rumor. That was kind of the thing in Seattle, is nobody likes him. It's tough for you to bond as a team if your quarterback's a douchebag. Not to be mean, but like it's tough. You don't gel, and he went to Denver and he demanded all these things right away. Hey, I want my own office. Hey, I want my own parking stall for my family. Hey, I want. It's like, not like, dude, you're all on the same level. Like, you're supposed to be a team. You don't want to separate yourself. And I think it just went really bad, really fast for them. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, but like, it almost seems like he's worse to be on a team than like a Deshaun Watson, which is like stupid to say, but it just seems that way.
And I get that he is just, he has been described as like a cartoon character, and I agree with that. He just tries to keep everything too perfect, too movie-esque, and I get that, but I can't understand it. You take on $85 million in dead money over the next 2 years. That is catastrophic.
That's why you don't guarantee a full contract to a guy that that's got problems. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that Deshaun Watson's contract will blow up the same way.
I can't
fully guarantee a contract on a guy that has problems. It's not going to work.
Yeah. So. But the thing is releasing someone, it has to have a purpose. You know what I mean?
But that's how bad it's not for the locker room.
It's not helping them prepare for the future.
No.
It's not saving them money at all.
Right.
They're not avoiding atrocious play from.
No,
a key position.
He's
like quarterback.
Serviceable, right? He's serviceable, but
he's not going to be a top guy. But
that just tells you how bad he is in the locker room. That the team is that bad without it. Like they benched him at one point this year because it was that bad.
Yeah,
like it's nuts. Because I agree with you. Where did it go wrong? Like he was Super Bowl quarterback. Not saying that he was carrying them. That defense was insane, but he was good enough to get them there. They won a Super Bowl. It just mind boggles you. Like, holy crap. This guy just went from being, I guess he's never had an MVP vote. He'll end his career probably never having an MVP vote now, but holy man, it is crazy to see the downfall of Russell Wilson in the last 3 years.
I truly understand the whole terrible locker room character, and I get that, and that's important to have good people in the locker room. But at the same time, why don't you just draft a quarterback like they're already going to do at, what is it, 9 or 12? I can't remember which spot they're at.
Yeah,
I can't remember. Wherever they're at, they can go get whatever guy outside the top three quarterbacks that they want. And okay, a year or two of dealing with Russ, pretend like everything's okay, I get it, but just teach the young guy what he's going to do. Because like I just said, having a guy be able to sit for a year, learn what it's like to be a pro, let your team build up, because they're not ready to win now.
No, I can tell you that. Not in that division.
No. So allow yourself, okay, you got to deal with the Russ for a year or two. Then, okay, your guy's ready, or at least he needs to be ready after a year. If you need to release him with, half of that $85 million still remaining, that's one thing. And you at least have some some practice, some reps built up in a guy ready for the NFL. But yeah. This just, to me, has no, it makes no sense. And I think in 2 years, I think if it goes the way I think it is, I think it's going to be Peyton and their GM are both out the door.
I already think Peyton's gone. I think that was a bad hire from the start. And I also think that's why what Wilson's out is that Sean Payton's so much of a cartoon himself that it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But
I
don't know. I, as a like Steelers fan or whatever, you got to be kind of happy. Like, hey, we're getting something better than the worst quarterback in the league. Like,
yeah,
they've been dead last in passing for the last 2 years. Like, they got to kind of be excited for this.
I think that it was a fantastic pickup by Pittsburgh.
Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, like with Najee Harris. I mean, it's a serviceable offense, man. Like,
yeah,
you
got good weapons around you. They're usually a pretty decent offensive line. They've been not as solid the last few years, but you also know what you're getting out of Russ. He's here to prove it. I think a 1 year deal was fantastic.
It was great by him because now it's like, hey, I proved that I'm worth something and you'll get a big contract next year. Otherwise he's out of the league. It's one of the two coming.
I think it's
option A, but you never know. He just craps the bed. Well, that's the end of him.
Yeah. He can throw the ball. So that's going to do nothing but help out Najee Harris to allow him to actually strive.
Right.
Do a little better because Pickett was not doing him any justice by, fully relying on him to run the ball.
Yeah. Him and Warren to just figure it out when they got eight or nine people in the box every play.
God. Yeah. Yeah, George Pickens out there, a couple of tight ends that are pretty serviceable.
I like
Deontay Johnson.
He's a stud, man, when he's got the ball coming to him.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's fantastic. As you know, our good friend Rory, Rory's been a lifelong Steeler fan, and I asked him about it. He said, same baseline expectation, but huge potential upside. He said he likes it, even if it's just a bridge situation.
You have to think that way. He's 10 times better than Pickens or Pickett.
Yep.
Way better than Pickett. Yeah, it's like that's confusing. Way better than Pickett. Way better than Rudolph. Like, better than anything they've had since Roethlisberger.
That's another quarterback that I can't understand why he's been around that team for so long is Mason Rudolph.
And if you look at him, he actually did well this year. He was better than Pickett.
You've seen it with a couple places.
Gardner Minshew was that way too, though, with the Colts. Led him to the playoffs this year as a backup quarterback. I mean, he didn't really get paid today. He made a lot less than I thought he was going to make today.
I didn't see what he had gotten paid.
2 year, 25. So 12 and a half a year. It's backup. I mean, he's going to the Raiders, so he has a chance to start on that.
Yeah, because they have O'Donnell.
Yep.
Aiden O'Connell.
Is that Northwestern?
That's all. Yes.
I would thought that was a pretty good steal by them. I was like, man, Gardner Minshew. That was a guy once Kirk was gone. I'm like, I'll take Gardner Minshew. Like, that dude's good. When he plays, he's good.
I'd be more than happy with that.
Right. He's led the Jags. When he was on the Jags when he took over, he was good. They just didn't give him time to develop. And then now he goes to the Colts, comes in, and takes him to the freaking playoffs. And then on top, he's the Pro Bowl quarterback, I believe, last year.
Yeah, I believe so. Sounds right. But another thing, building off of what you said, we'll get into some of the free agent signings here in a little bit. Obviously, Kirk got all sorts of money today. We'll, again, get into that later. But what do you think the Vikings are going to do now? There's a lot of question marks. Obviously, with quarterback, they have two mouth breathers at quarterback on roster right now.
I won't even say that they're on roster. I think they both could be cut in a matter of seconds if they wanted to.
Agreed.
But they're going to sign somebody, and they have to sign somebody just because the draft is after free agency. So there's no guarantee we get a quarterback at 11. So you have to sign somebody just in case you don't get a quarterback in the draft. Rumor is Sam Darnold's been heavy on the Vikings list.
I have seen that they were pretty interested in that.
I'm going to assume that's who we're going to end up with because he's going to be dirt cheap. You know what I mean? We'll give him a 2-year really, really cheap deal, and we're going to be like, yeah, whatever. Hopefully this isn't plan A because we're going to hopefully draft somebody and we never see Sam Darnold. It's kind of the hope.
Yeah, not wrong. Is there any other players that you would mind seeing? I guess,
Gardner Minshew was on my list. Another one is Tannehill. Could be a guy. They slide in here. Worse Kirk. Kind of the same thing, though.
I was going to say, same player, different capabilities, I guess.
Worse at about everything.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else is kind of out there. It's pretty tough free agent class, man.
Yeah. If you really had to, I guess Joe Flacco is an option. I don't think he would be fantastic.
No, but he can at least sling the ball. That's the thing is, if we don't get a guy, and that's why I wanted Gardner Minshew, is he can throw the ball deep. And with Justin Jefferson, if we don't get a quarterback that can throw the ball, he's gone. So, like, if we get Tannehill, if we sign Ryan Tannehill, I guarantee you Justin Jefferson's gone. I wouldn't want to watch it either. You got to give him somebody who's going to air the ball out. So that, whether it be, like you said, a Flacco who is going to gunsling, he's going to throw a bunch of interceptions, but he's going to throw the ball. Our Minshew's the same in that same boat. They're going to let it fly, whether or not they want it to.
Some of the other guys that I haven't heard any connections about. I don't follow the Vikings all that closely, as you're aware. But Jameis Winston, I believe, is available. Carson Wentz.
Is Winston
even a free agent? Tyrod Taylor.
I was thinking Wentz. As soon as we brought it up, I was like, you know what? I wonder if they take a flyer on Wentz to just be a bridge guy.
Another one that, again, I've heard this for going on 2 years now, maybe even 3 years, is the hometown kid, Trey Lance, coming back.
Dude, if they can get him in a decent trade. Really made me mad last year when Trey Lance was available. It was like, hey, what did Dallas trade? A third rounder for him? If that?
Yeah, they.
I think it was third. Whatever.
Bag of balls,
let's say we had to give up our third round for Trey Lance. Guess what? He would have played last year. We would have known right then and there if that's our guy. Now we screwed around, try to do something else, and now it's like, oh, we don't like anything we had. Well, you had a chance to go get a guy who was picked in the top. I mean, he was probably picked early, but he's first round talent quarterback that you could have had for a third round pick, and you probably would have seen him play last year with everybody on your team that would have been around for the future.
Definitely. You would have seen him play, well, in theory, let's say, perfect situation for the Vikings. They go out, they signed or traded for him, third rounder in the offseason. He gets a whole offseason with Kirk. Kirk's a fantastic pro. He knows how to be a good professional. He knows how to prepare. He knows how to do everything right. Does he necessarily know how to put it all together? Not always, but it's something that he can watch, he can learn, and then, okay, he goes down. He gets full, or what he got, in theory, could have had 8 weeks of in-season ball to watch and learn from.
Right.
Gets hurt in week 8, gets the rest of the season to show what he's got.
Right.
I
don't know. That one made me mad.
Yeah.
I was, as soon as Kirk went down, and I'm like, okay, we drafted a rookie, right? Let's see what he has. He looked good on one drive, got hurt. I'm like, okay, now we're on to option C. Josh Dobbs after 1 week, and I mean it looked good for 2-3 weeks, and then that fell apart, and then it just became a circle. And, man, if we could have just, you would have known. I mean, maybe crap the bed like Jaren Hall, and we're still in the same boat, but you never know. It's tough.
And obviously these are all theoretical. You never know what actually is gonna happen.
But I mean, to be fair, Nick Mullins is one of those kind of gunslinger guys. I mean, he broke records at Southern Miss, so it's Brett Favre's record. So you know the guy throws the ball, but it's just, it's tough watching him. It's like, ooh.
Not enough play there. I guess another one here for you is, so obviously last year, third rounder, Lance goes to Dallas.
Yep.
I never really understood why it was something that they pursued. I don't really understand why they thought it was
that one
a big deal. It just never made sense, especially because they've been talking about nothing but extending and giving Dak big money.
He wasn't even the backup either.
No.
Trey Lance was the third quarterback. That's what really made no sense to me. I was like, why did they trade for him? And maybe Minnesota was only offering a fourth. Who knows, right? But I didn't get the Dallas trade either because I'm like, they like Cooper Rush. He's been in the offense for 2 years. They're not going to – and I think it was only like a week or two before the season. So it was like, well, they're not going to just demote a guy that knows the offense right away. And it was a very weird trade.
Yeah. But again, this is another bullet point that I had for you that I really kind of wanted to touch on, because everybody has their own opinion on this guy. But obviously, Jerry Jones is just viewed as this polarizing figure. I don't get it, but there's been nothing but talks about him giving Dak just ungodly amounts of money in a contract coming up here. And I think it's either going to go one of two ways. I think he's going to get all this money. He's going to play fine, but he's going to eat up the cap, and then no one's going to be around him. Or he's going to get all this money, and it's going to just throw him into decades of irrelevance again.
Yeah, we can talk about how paying a quarterback a lot of money hurts him on a different episode, because I could go 30 minutes on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, as a guy that doesn't like the Cowboys, pay him. Feel free. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
What has he done to prove that he's good now? Like,
I'm more than happy for him to get all the money, because I think it personally, I 100% could throw him into at least 5 to 10 years of just being bad. The bottom of the
what
NFC.
What have they done now? Like, why pay him? What has he done now?
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything. I mean, he puts up good regular season numbers. Congrats. Like, if that's what we're going off of, then everybody else is better than, like, it's just a stupid thing. It's like, I don't know. I just don't want to watch
that. You know, we'll save the contract talk for another day, but pivoting to Jerry Jones. So another thing, you and I feel like are on the same page that he's viewed as this polarizing figure in the NFL, and he's done all these fantastic things. And personally, I think he has so much pull for whatever reason. I don't get it. But there are so many valuable all-star caliber players that come out of Texas that go into the NFL, have successful careers. All of them, or it seems like all of them, grew up watching the Cowboys. All of them wanted to be a Cowboy, and he can never get them to come in.
Yeah.
I
think they got was one of the nicest stadiums. I mean, there's a lot of newer ones now, but like you said, just big. I think it's the biggest stadium though.
I think so too.
You can't figure this out. And you're like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's another one where
he gets in the way.
He's so much of a character. Goes back
team in the foot.
Right. And it goes back to kind of what we said with the Russell Wilson and Sean Payton thing. If you're too much of a character, some people don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
I should have looked where they rated on that Players Association grades. I didn't see where the Cowboys ranked at all. But that'd be kind of
a
tell
to look at those.
We can bring that up in another newer episode later, but see where kind of these teams actually rank in player treatment and stuff like that would be kind of interesting to see kind of where do the Cowboys actually rank into this.
Yeah, it would be a good inkling. I do like that they come out with those, and
I do too.
That's something else we could probably look into and have a conversation about.
Yeah. Oh, I got one for you today that I learned that I haven't brought up yet. Kirk Cousins. So he tore his Achilles, whatever we said, week 8. Let's go with. When do you think? When was the last time he was on the injury report before that?
On the injury report, or was
just the injury report?
He had some rib injuries a couple of seasons ago that I feel like should have been on there
last year.
But based
never on
off
the injury
of...
report.
Oh,
it was week 1 of 2013.
Back in Washington?
That has to be his rookie year.
I think it was 13.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's 12 over 10 years of never being on the injury report. Holy crap.
That seems
suspicious. I guess if you want to go, he was on the COVID list. You know what I mean? He was on that. He missed a game for that. Whatever. But, like, yes. Only other time he was on the injury report was week 1 of 2013. I'm like, that man is a tank.
he plays through anything. Like,
You said, he had that rib thing all of last year. He was never questionable. He knew he was going to play. It hurt, but he's like, I'm not even questionable. I'm playing. Like,
yeah, he's got that Matthew Stafford mentality where he'll play through
video.
Anything.
That's a great video.
Yeah.
Okay, staying on we said Minshew to the Raiders. The other thing the Raiders did today was Christian Wilkins, 4 years, $110 million. Holy crap.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but I think it's smart by them. Gives Max Crosby some room. Take a little bit of attention off of him.
So that puts him, I believe, at third in defensive tackles.
So behind those Chris Donald Jones and
Aaron Donald and then him.
Okay. So Jones is, damn.
27. So he's getting good money, but he's not at whatever
Chris That's higher Jones, paid than Crosby, 32. Too, I heard. Right? That's higher paid than Crosby, though. I was like, oh, boy. I don't know. I think that's good for them. I mean, especially in that division, you got Herbert and you got Mahomes. Like, go get them. Like, you put pressure on Mahomes, hopefully, like, the Raiders always play him tough. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Great having, and man.
Like, honestly, out of the, I'm just looking at a list of the defensive tackles and what they're getting paid.
Gotcha.
You know, obviously, your Aaron Donald is just a freak. He just, I don't know. He's already got his old deal. He's kind of riding that one out. We'll figure out what he's doing.
He's going off MVP vote, pretty much. Yeah. Is all he's riding, right?
Chris Jones, again, just got paid today. I'm sure we'll get into that. But honestly, behind him, guy out of Baltimore, Quinnen Williams, which I could see Williams getting more money. But besides that, I don't see anybody that's better than him and that would deserve more money.
Right.
And so I think tying in that, A, he deserves to get a decent contract for the position he's at, plus just thinking of what it's going to loosen up for Max Crosby alone is worth it for Vegas, right, in my opinion.
Oh,
I think there's a lot of other positions they need to address, and if they think that just doing this is going to get them somewhere, they're delusional.
Right.
But I think that this is a good step for their defense, at least.
Right. Okay, sticking in the AFC West, Gus Edwards to the Chargers. Really cheap deal. It was 2 for 6.5.
Yeah.
So cheap. It just trying to fill the Austin Eckler hole a little bit before they maybe draft a guy. It's kind of my thought there.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad deal, especially just kind of seeing how fast the running backs went.
I mean, there's still big names out there. You still got Henry and Aaron Jones, and who was the other big one?
Iron Jones.
Yeah, we'll get into that here in a little bit too. But
yeah, there's a couple of guys, but I think there's only really a few guys before they're really gonna start looking into the draft. I think I'm gonna look this up here real quick, but say something completely out of line because there were so many names getting thrown around today. I still think Derrick Henry is the top guy for everybody, and I think that honestly today did nothing but help him because the Ravens didn't go out and sign anybody, and I think that's the real destination that he wants to go to, and so that's doing nothing but just raising the risk for the Ravens. It's doing nothing but putting more pressure on them to be like, hey, if he goes and signs somewhere else for more, we're kind of in a tough spot.
Saquon was the only really big one, right? Saquon was the only super big contract, right? He was like 15 mil or something like that. 3 for 30, almost 38. So well over 14. Josh Jacobs was at like 12. Otherwise, like you said, there was nothing too crazy. Pollard was at 8. DeAndre Swift was like a little over 8.
Yeah, a lot of 8 Eckler's, to 9.
Right.
$8 to $9 million annual. So, but I think it did nothing but help.
Ravens is, I didn't even think of them as a team of a go-to. Yeah. Now that you said that.
J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are gone, and they got Isaiah Spiller. And I think it's, like I said, just
there are other guys so like Keaton Mitchell, pressure. Dude. That stupid, speedy, fast guy. Like, lightning and thunder, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know. For whatever I was thinking, I'm like, the Cowboys are so going to overpay for Derrick Henry. That's what I was sitting here going, like, oh, Jerry Jones is going to just overpay the living crap out of this. That's what I was thinking.
I think that Aaron Jones is going to Dallas.
I see that now, but you ready for this one? The Jets.
Ugh. God, don't even get me started, dude.
What do you mean? The Jets are going to sign David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones.
I just, I wish nothing but the best for both of them. I truly do. I just, the only way I would hope that they don't do well is if they go into the NFC North, which all of the NFC North tends to just rotate between its teams.
Aaron Jones is going to the Vikings.
That's what I'm scared of.
Did you see the
too.
Report that the Vikings were on Tony Pollard?
No, I did not, but I'm not surprised. So they Titans need a run outbid, back bad.
Right. It said the Titans outbid, I think it was the Eagles, the Giants, and the Vikings for Tony Pollard. Well, guess what? All those other teams got a running back now. Yeah. Vikings are in on a running back, I think. I just don't know how big of a guy they want, but Aaron Jones wasn't on the list to start the day, but he's on there now, I think.
He's such an interesting person to look at too, though, because as a Packer fan, obviously watching him, Jones is the man. Everyone in Green Bay loves him.
Right. I said it today.
It was a crazy day today, but in the Packer community, everybody went from the highest of highs thinking that we had two studs in the running back room that we were going to be unstoppable. We were Super right. Bowl bound this morning. And then, watching him get released was tough.
You thought that they were going to keep both of them? Or at least you thought there was a chance that they'd keep both of them?
I thought, just based off of how it was reported, that whatever contract scenario was going on had been resolved and the two of them were going to be there together. That's kind of how it was worded in the reports.
Gotcha.
That is why I thought that way.
No, that's fair. I read the report, so I got the alert, Josh Jacobs signing with the Packers, and I go, Aaron Jones is gone. I go, there's no way you keep both these running backs. You can't pay both running backs that. That was my instant thought. And the buddy that sits right behind me at work, and I go, hey, like, Packers are signing Josh Jacobs. He goes, oh, wow, like Aaron Jones and him. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, I think Aaron Jones is a guy. He goes, no, he's good. I go, that's not my argument. Aaron Jones is awesome. Like, I want Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
You can't pay. And at the time, I don't know what Aaron Jones' contract was renegotiated to.
So messy, I can't keep up with it.
But let's just say it never got renegotiated. He's getting paid $17.5 million. And I go, let's just say Josh Jacobs is getting paid 12.5. That was my guess before the report came out. I go, there's no way your team is paying running backs $30 million. There's not a chance. Because I go, the Vikings last year paid what? $10 million and four of them?
If any team could do it, it would be Green Bay this year. I don't think it would have been
with Love's contract.
Financially responsible. Yeah, with Love's contract, all of our pass catchers being on rookie deals.
Right.
That I think it could have been done.
Right.
It wasn't responsible to do, obviously.
But then again, Aaron Jones's dead cap is 12.5. So you only saved $5 million by letting him go. Which at that point, why don't you just keep him for $5 million?
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I was like.
I'll throw out a name here. I apologize that I don't have it ready. There's a guy that I subscribe to on YouTube that's fantastic, that covers the Packers in depth really, really well. I'm going to butcher the name. Basaraski Productions is the name of the YouTube channel, and he went into it today because he does, like I said, a fantastic job covering them. And he was working around the cap space, and it didn't save or lose any money in the overall scheme of things with releasing Jones and adding Jacobs, because it just kind of pushed the money around. It essentially just became a wash financially. But yeah, it was a tough day today watching Bakhtiari get released. Yeah, two cornerstones of the offense getting released today. It was tough. Bakhtiari was no one was surprised by it. Needed to happen. It's just unfortunate. I hope there's no ill.
I think what's really going to make Green Bay fans mad is if he goes, say, signed for the Jets and he plays every game next year. That's really going to piss you guys off.
Of course. I'd be upset.
Right.
But you can't gamble paying top-tier left tackle money and not getting
him
two games of production out of
it.
It just doesn't work.
Right.
It sucks.
Yep. Sticking with your Green Bay Packers, Xavier McKinney, safety.
I personally love it. I do. I haven't watched a ton of his film, I will be completely honest, but our safety room, it was so, so deplenished that I like it because we had no one there. We're likely still going to draft at least one, if not more, defensive backs in the draft. There's no way we don't. And
It's got to be one safety and one corner for sure.
We paid him big money, but that's kind of what the safeties are going for. And he's also, 24?
Yep.
25, maybe?
No, he's 24. You're right.
Yeah. It was 4 years, $68 million?
Yep.
Question mark?
Yep.
So, I personally love the pickup. We paid a little more than I think we had to, but to get the guy that we wanted.
Right.
And, hey, if we can pair him up with another young guy, let's rock with it. I love it.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
then sticking in the NFC North, the Bears going for DeAndre Swift right away this morning. I thought that was kind of interesting. I was like, I didn't know the Bears really needed another running back. I thought Roschon Johnson. Go ahead.
Sorry. Especially at 3 years, $24.5 million.
Right.
You know, it was kind of on par for what everybody else was paying today, I guess.
Right.
But
I guess to be fair to argue on them, they're not paying a quarterback.
Yeah.
No kidding. So, and if they draft Caleb Williams, they're still not paying a quarterback. But I saw it. I was like, Khalil Herbert. Right.
Roschon Johnson.
That was the guy. He's a bigger guy, but he looked good last year. They were running like three different running backs last year. And I was like, oh, give Roschon the ball next year. See what he does. It just seems like that's not going to be the case. I was like,
I'm not sure. Whatever. Personally, I like DeAndre Swift. I think he's a good running back. I like what he does. And honestly, I wouldn't have minded if we would have gotten him with Aaron Jones either. I was a little bummed this morning when I saw him. I was like, dang, you know, I didn't know what Green Bay wanted to do at running back because we need to replace Dylan's role. Didn't know if we were going to go free agent or the draft. And I thought that that would have been a guy that they might have looked into. But,
And it seemed weird because it's like they need more than a running back to solve their problems. And it was like, we're finding a running back. They're like, anything else? Question mark. You know what I mean?
Hello? I think they would have been a lot better off going after a top offensive lineman.
Right. Personally. A lineman or something on defense to just bolster up something to
anything on the defensive side other than maybe linebacker and end.
Even a wide receiver. I believe Mooney's a free agent. So, I don't know. It was just weird.
I think it was a decent pickup, but it definitely didn't fill a major hole compared to what they need.
Right.
One of the most interesting ones today, I thought, was Michael Pittman, 3 years, $71.5
million. Was he a free agent? Or was
he got tagged.
Negotiations.
Okay, he got tagged and then signed. And then they signed him to this extension today.
71, what does that come out to be? 24 year?
71.5 over 3 is 23.83 million.
Okay. That was a pretty good guess for me. 24.
You're a lot better at math than I am.
So. I took a kind of a stab. I knew it was over 20, but it wasn't 25. He's good. I love Michael Pittman. The dude can play. He showed you what he can do with Gardner Minshew, and they're in the boat where, we're bringing back this guy that we think can be generational quarterback for the Colts. We need somebody here that he's used to. Because if you start throwing him in with new receivers right away again, it's not going to look good.
Yeah,
why get rid of your best player when you're getting – it'd be the same argument for Carolina last year. Why did they get rid of DJ Moore when they're drafting a quarterback? It makes no sense to get rid of your best receiver when you have a young quarterback.
Yeah.
So
you're not wrong.
Right. So it's a great move by the Colts. I think I love Michael Pittman. Great player.
I like him. I think it puts him at eighth in receivers by annual salary.
And I mean, Justin Jefferson's going to jump that at some point. You know, yeah, like he'll be out of the top 10 so fast.
Yeah,
Ridley's still on the list, and Marquise Brown, and I think there's another one that's going to get paid. So,
personally, I would have liked to see a little bit longer of a contract, maybe more than 3 years, 4 or 5. You never know what the negotiations were like. You never know.
I think a lot of these guys look at it now where they try to hit free agency again while they're still in their prime.
Agreed. They definitely don't want to get stuck in being in a long-term contract where they're like, okay, now I'm 25th in the league and there's guys below me that are not, you know, worth the money compared to what I'm offering.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, Gabe Davis today got paid 3 for $39. So, like, Gabe Davis jumped him already today. That was 30, you know what I mean? That's, no, sorry, not even close. I'm doing math wrong. 3 for $39 is way less than 3 for $71.
Oof. Yes. I was going to say, I wasn't looking at the numbers, but I was
way bad math.
Definitely concerned if that was 13 true.
13 mil a year for Gabe Davis. I was like, dang. Yeah. Like,
well,
I don't know.
I want to make a small pivot, but I promise to come right back. Yep. One of my coworkers just texted me. NFL rumors. Minnesota Vikings have shown interest in former Packer running back Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I'm telling you. We were on the Tony Pollard sweepstakes, and it was with the Eagles, the Giants, and Titans. Yeah. Like, they all have running backs. We're left here. I really think Aaron Jones is I like you said, it's Derrick Henry's either going Cowboys or he's going Ravens. And if the Vikings are smart enough, you jump on the second guy now, because if Derrick Henry goes one way, the other team is going for Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
That's why I think Tony Pollard signed right away this morning.
Yeah, I think if you missed out on Tony Pollard and got Aaron Jones, that was the biggest happy accident you could have ever had.
Right. And it'd be great, especially if Aaron Jones ended up poorly. Like, if it ended poor in Green Bay, like, he's pissed off now. He's running for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns on Green Bay twice a year.
Oh.
Without a freaking doubt.
I don't even want to think about it. It would hurt.
You know what I mean? You don't piss off running backs, man. They remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wanted to pivot to, you know, we were talking about Pittman. He got paid today. I think it was a good signing. Good to keep him in town. Another guy I do like in Indianapolis is Alec Pierce. But I wanted to transition over to the Bengals. Bengals had they had franchise tag T. Higgins, and he requested a trade, which I feel like was going to happen regardless. I don't really know why people acted surprised. Where do you think he lands? I think there's some people that'll pay big money for him. Right. And I think he'll get his money regardless. But where do you think he'll go? Who do you think will offer some big payouts for him?
I wrote down three teams when I saw that earlier. I was like, okay, T. Higgins, who needs wide receivers the most? First one I kind of wrote was Titans. I'm like, Right. And then I was like, Panthers, they need Adam Thielen's their guy. Like, that's, you need somebody younger. Like, you got rid of DJ Moore for no reason there. Just bring a guy in to help Bryce Young out, see if this is actually not going to work, or at least give him some weapons to figure it out. And then the last team I wrote was the Patriots. And something that kind of tipped my hand a little bit today was they let go of Devontae Parker. And I was like, huh. Okay, they're releasing, you know what I mean? They're trying to do something here. Like, they need, if they're going to draft a young quarterback, you need a guy. And if T. Higgins can be that guy, why not go get him? Especially if he's tagged. It's only a one-year deal. Like, you shouldn't have to give up much to get him now.
Yeah. The need, excuse me. I blanked out, but the return that they can ask for is severely diminished since, like you said, there's only that 1 year that's left.
Right, and he's requested a trade. Ask
for anything ridiculous.
Right, and if they know he's disgruntled, it drives it down. So,
and honestly, so I love the underdog teams. I've loved watching the Bengals go from being atrocious to actually winning some games, even though they've struggled a little bit the last season. T. Higgins has just been kind of tossed in the mud the whole time. I don't blame him for kind of wanting to get out. It's not like, okay, I shouldn't say they've tossed him in the mud, but it's been the Jamar Chase show, which it should be.
Right.
Jamar Chase is a top dog. He deserves to get that money first. Tyler Boyd's been in the mix too, but T. Higgins, I feel like, has just been the odd man out most of the time, right. And I don't blame him for wanting to leave.
Right. It is so, kind of weird, though, because, like, Tyler Boyd's so old that they could have just been like, okay, it's going to be Jamar and T, but, like, they never did it, and then they're like, okay, like, why not? Like, I don't know. And you get why, like you said, you get why T. Higgins, like, I want out. Like, this should have been me and Jamar. Like, for some reason, it's Jamar, Tyler Boyd, and me. Like, I'm last in this list. Like, what happened here?
Yeah. So I think it's where they kind of went wrong. And I understand it's always hindsight. It's 2020. But, you know, Jamar Chase has been in the year or in the league for a couple of years now. I think, how many is it? Has he been in for 3 or 2 years?
Two.
I think. Okay. So maybe it's a little earlier than I was thinking. But, you know, what, those types
JJ's
of guys.
JJ's been in what, three? Right? He's a year after JJ.
Yes,
I think JJ and CD Lamb's on year, going on year four. So I think
that sounds right. Yeah, so this kind of messes with my timeline, but I'll just go on. But
right.
Those guys, I feel like after 2 years of showing what Jamar Chase has done, you got to just bite the bullet. You got to sign him to a big deal if you know you're going to keep him. I get it sucks putting up that big money right away, but especially when you know you're having to pay Burrow and if you want to keep a guy like T. Higgins around. So I just think that that's the only way in my mind that would be the best option to get someone to stay like that. But gotcha. And then
I lied.
The other,
that was Jamar Chase's third year.
Okay. So
he's gone.
Then it would have lined up. So yeah,
right.
Last year, in my opinion, would have been the time to pay him, but I'm,
yeah. And that's tough because they're going to ask
you and I understand
right.
that. So,
right. But you can go back to JJ's and the same thing. Like,
but I
should pay him, but
that's example B for me, you know,
right.
Vikings. Imagine if the Vikings had him under contract already, they would be a lot less stressed about their situation.
They would, but I think when they're asking 2 years out, it's going to be some number that's so astronomical that you're like, like, we've only seen you for 2 years. Like, yeah, like I want to pay you this much, but I need to see it. Whatever, you're three and you're this, but the number just keeps going up. And then you're like, crap, we should have took that first deal. I agree with you. Yeah, if as a team. But then again, what? Let's just say he just all of a sudden can't figure it out. Now you paid this guy $46 million after 2 years. And now it's, oh, crap,
agreed.
This guy can't figure this out. Like, I don't know. It's,
yeah, there's a million different ways it could go.
Right.
And I personally, I just think that that would be my approach if I were to be being paid millions of dollars to make those decisions. But I'm not,
right,
and that's why I'm here. So you never know.
I'm just trying to think of a couple of receivers that blew up in their first 2 years and then just doop.
No. But to go off of what you said, I did have the Titans on there. That was one of my top teams for him to go to. I just think that that's a top position that they need. If they're going to roll with Levis, you might as well get him a guy to go out and actually get some production outside D-Hop.
Is D-Hop still there? I think so.
Question. I can't remember his exact situation.
I think so too.
New England made my list too. I think we were pretty much spot on our thoughts there. Two teams that I put out there, one realistic in my opinion, one not so much, but I wouldn't be surprised. The realistic one being the Giants. The Giants they cannot figure it out with pass catchers. I think
right.
It would cost them more. I think it would be a lot more hoops to jump through to get that done.
I'm also trying to think how much money they still got wrapped up in.
And this is
position.
Something I'm not keeping money in mind. I
right.
struggle to keep all that in a row. So these are mainly hypotheticals. But also the Colts. This is another team that it would definitely not be a need. It wouldn't be something that people would be, you know, downing them for not going out and attempting. But I think if the Colts could give up, you know, a pick, two picks, maybe a player, but to tie him with Pittman and Richardson, I think would be a fantastic trio. Especially
going
with
back
their
to the
running
Giants
game
one.
Kind of in a question. But
going back to the Giants one, They mm-hmm. are their highest paid wide receivers, Darius Slayton, at a little over $8 million. So
yeah. I just think that they can't figure out whatsoever what they're doing. I think they all of their receivers had like the worst separation rates in the league last year too. You're also having, in my opinion, one of the biggest flukes throwing you the ball too, so that doesn't help.
That's a bad contract. You talk about extending people when you shouldn't. That was one of them.
Yeah.
I should have tagged him and signed Barkley long term.
I said that from the start.
I think most people did.
You're going off four years of horrible play.
Right. And then all you're going off of and is him winning a playoff game on the Vikings.
No.
And it wasn't even a good year. It was just he beat the Vikings in the playoffs and he looked okay, but the Vikings defense was dead last in the NFL. Well, congrats. Everybody threw on us like that all year.
Yeah, that was before we change a pace here, I did want to run this one by you. This is my Packer bias coming through, but I wanted to hear your opinions and thoughts on this because as a Packer fan, this makes sense in my mind. Don't know if it would make sense in everybody else's. So again, Packer fan bias. I'm well aware that this would probably never happen, but I would personally love to trade Deshaun Watson. Christian Watson. Personally, he has the opportunity to be an animal, but he just has not shown to me that he can stay consistently healthy. He's not always out, but he's not always full health, which drives me crazy because it's the same thing over and over again, which isn't necessarily his fault, but if you're not able to play, it doesn't work. So that's one. He just seems like a one-trick pony to me. I've said this to you. I've said this to many people. He's just fast. He tries to blow by you, but he's also getting bodied by corners that are 6 inches shorter than he is, and you can't be having that. He single-handedly costed us an opportunity, not costed us the game, but an opportunity. I believe it was against the Raiders that their corner just was able to go up and basically put his body into him and push him around, pick the ball off to seal the game. And that was a big pivotal point. But again, wrapping it back, trading Christian Watson and maybe a pick for Higgins. I think having Higgins, Dobbs, and Reed would be a lot scarier than having Watson, Dobbs, and Reed because they have the opportunity that they could give them a little bit more money because everybody's on rookie deals.
It is, but you guys also have so much money invested into your defense right now that Higgins is still on a one-year deal, and I still don't think you're going to pay him what he wants to get paid because you let Devontae walk for about the same thing. So,
I agree.
You're giving up a pick and Christian Watson for a guy on a one-year rental. It's like, do you feel like the Packers are in that boat?
It would be in my assumption that they would have to – it would be a trade and sign.
Right, but so. I don't – because you're going to have to extend Love, so that's going to hit at some mm-hmm. point. And you're already paying Kenny Clark top, whatever it is, 10 D lineman money now. And then Jaihir, I still think, is the highest paid corner in the league. And now you just paid Xavier McKinney, whatever that was.
It's a long shot. Trust me, I know this isn't like a slam dunk easy thing.
I get what you're saying there. Like, we could use a number one receiver because you definitely could. I'm not arguing that. It's just on a one-year deal, it's tough when they got – it has to be a sign-in deal or like a sign-in trade. And you're like, the Packers don't sign their people. It's just not what they do. It's weird.
Yeah. Kenny Clark is,
I don't know where he ranks anymore. 21st. It was the highest defensive tackle at the time.
I wasn't trying to prove you wrong. No, I was mainly that's why just I said that curious. Was
3 or 4 years ago. Now that was going back to your point of locking into a long-term contract.
Yes. So, no, that makes sense. That was just something that had,
but it's still a big hit, isn't it? What was his contract? Do you remember?
Or did you see it there? No. I don't remember. Like I said, on his average is 17.5. Again, I don't remember.
Still almost $20 million is a good chunk of money.
Yeah.
So. Right. Okay. So that's fine. I was just trying to figure out what it was. So I remember when it came out, I was like driving home and they're like, oh, Kenny Clark, now the high speed D tackle. I was like, who? I knew who he was. I'm like, that dude?
Yeah, people have very mixed opinions on that. Oh, Kenny's a freak. I think he just absorbs so much that he doesn't necessarily get the numbers, where he's not necessarily getting the sacks, getting tackles for loss, but he's causing a lot of attention going his way, and I think that's basically what they paid for. So
right, and that's D tackles at a whole for the most part. You aren't going to hear much about them.
No.
They take up 2-3 guys in the middle.
Yeah. Another receiver that was on the move today. Browns gave up a 5th and a 6th for Judy. Personally, I think this was one of the most fair trades I've seen in a while. My reasoning, I guess, is I think 5th rounders have some value. You can still find a guy maybe in the 5th round. 6th round, I think you're kind of getting out of the reality of it being a high chance. You can always find gems in the 6th and 7th, but I just think giving up a 5th and a 6th for a guy that you could take up with or team up with Cooper and have him learn, and if he works out, great. It's fantastic. But if not, you're like, all right, whatever. Just move on. Yeah.
And I'm not 100% who they still have. I know they went and got Elijah Moore last year, kind of fill that void. But you set that offense, when it's clicking, you got Nick Chubb going. When Joe Flacco was playing last year at the end of the year, that offense was humming. And it's like, man, if you could get another guy outside of, like you said, Amari Cooper to open some things up, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. I just thought that one was a low-risk, high-reward situation. So,
right, and that was Denver saying, well, we can't afford you next year because we're paying Russell Wilson's contract still. So,
gotta love it.
Kenny Clark's cap hit, though, in 2024 is $27.5 million. So,
yeah, there's a lot of big contracts that we have in the
He distributed his money to not hit until this year, pretty much. So that's why it's so heavy.
Mm-hmm. So we could see him moving on in a year or two, potentially.
He's a free agent in 2025. So he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
At the end of next year. Sorry. His hit for next year is 13.8. It drops way down again. So
interesting. Right. Depending that's on what he commands, we could have him, or we could see him walk, I guess. But we also have, I like the young guys that we got on our D-line, especially we're switching it up to a 4-3 with Halfley. So we'll see how that ends up, you know.
Just operating. A little weird. Then you have, like, is Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith technically playing like a DN still then?
I would assume. I think Van Ness would probably go inside.
You think he'd be a D-tackle?
Van Ness, he did it in college. So he played inside and outside in college at Iowa.
Okay.
Again, that was kind of one of the reasons.
That's why when you said it, I was like, 4-3 defenses, your two inner guys are just big body taking everything in. Kenny Clark, perfect for a 4-3.
Yeah, he would be a great, great role for it. But Van Ness, he, like I said, he did that in college and he found decent success with it. So that's kind of who I assume will be one of the guys going in if they need to. I'm looking for his weight right now. That was kind of what I was thinking. He's
shy of 3, isn't it?
He's 271.
Oh, way lighter than that.
272 at 6'5". But he also, he played interior defensive line a little bit. So if you're used to it, it is what it is. Right. Because we also, for outside linebackers, we have Brenton Cox Jr. I think he, if I remember correctly, he can play a little bit of inside and outside, but mainly outside. Obviously, Rashawn Gary. Trying to see who else we got. Kenneth, he's always there. Preston Smith is always there. So I think they'll try and keep him outside, but he would probably be the first one in my opinion. Because in the D-line, we obviously got Kenny Clark, Jonathan Ford, Slayton, Wooden, Wyatt,
Brooks. It's weird that Wyatt and Kenny Clark would be your two inside. It's weird that you guys are switching to a 4-3 to me.
Yeah.
It kind of blows my mind because you're definitely set up for more of a 3-4 where you can use Van Ness or Smith and Gary as kind of your edge guys.
Yeah. I think obviously it's the coach that's bringing right. that system in.
Vikings but I did think the same that thing
we've just ago. Been watching the 3-4 get pounded over and over again, and it's not working. So I think it was time for it to switch up. But I haven't watched a bunch of Halfley's teams as tape. But I think I'm excited for it personally, just to see a change.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Going on, I guess, speaking of kind of just defensive things, the Vikings went heavy on defensive players today. Absolutely lining yeah. them up one after another.
Yeah.
Jonathan Grenard for 4 years, $76 million. That kind of tells me Danielle Hunter's probably gone.
I think he's gone for sure at this point.
But Kirk not coming back also is like, hey, we left some money on the table now. Like, you can come back. You know what I mean? Especially with JJ not knowing, like, you could bring him back.
I think
it's,
they
it's
could.
It's not out of the realm, but I agree. It's probably done. I think that relationship was broken 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
But you never know because he hasn't signed anywhere, which kind of is a shock to me.
Like, yeah. I did like the Andrew Van Ginkle pickup. I thought that was a fantastic pickup at linebacker.
But we have been burned on these small, like, two-year, $20 million deals over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Davenport being the one last year.
Yeah.
That is a DN that we paid $13 million to last year, and I think he played half a game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it sounds about right. But
that's where it's like, man, like, I like it too. I love Andrew Van Ginkle. I'm excited, but it's like, man, this is where we can get toasted on $10 million this year or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Blake Cashman too. We got him. I love that. That's a Minnesota native. He's on, I believe, Eden Prairie.
Gotcha.
3 years, 25 and a half. Like, that dude can play too. And that, we filled our whole linebacker core right out. I mean, we let go of Jordan Hicks. I just saw he signed with, I believe, Cleveland. But it's going to be our undrafted rookie from last year, and these two guys playing linebacker.
Yeah,
I mean, we signed Anthony Barr back last year to play for us.
Yeah, I was joking with one of my buddies on the drive home from work today, talking about the Vikings free agency pickups, and I was saying that they needed to sign some linebackers and defensive players just so they weren't getting blown out. Otherwise, their only chance of winning is going to be a 7-6 game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No. And that. So when that Jonathan Grenard one came out, I got Kirk's gone. As soon as I saw it, it's close to $20 million a year. I go, Kirk's gone.
Yeah. Moving on. I guess let's just transition right to Kirk.
Right.
I.
Way overpaid for that. I mean, great fit for him. It's going to be awesome for 2 years. But those last 2 years are going to be absolutely terrible in Atlanta. And it's not going to be because of Kirk.
No.
It's because they're going to have to pay everybody they have, and they won't have the money to do it.
I think you're spot on with that. Where Kirk was a fantastic fit in Atlanta, they have young talent.
Right.
But yeah,
Bijan, Drake.
It's going to be absolutely brutal when it comes to be year three, year four, when all those guys have to get paid. They're going to be in a situation kind of like the Bengals, where they have to pick and choose who they're going to have to let go, even though they're all good players. And honestly, by that time, Kirk might be retiring, and it might just be like kind of self-destructive for that franchise, which sucks because he is the best opportunity for them to, you know, win some games, probably win their division. It's not a hard division to win. So
the way Kirk was playing last year, he could go win the MVP this year.
So
with Bijan, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. I mean, watch out. That's all I got to say.
Do you think there's a chance that they might pick up a late quarterback, like second, third round quarterback, and try and have
Ritter just sits.
Either replace?
Nope, I just think
think they're going to rock with Ritter and just hopefully he learns from Kirk?
Right. I think they're like, you know what? We know you can at least play. You're a backup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if Kirk gets hurt, you're playing. Like, get ready. Like,
get some experience, but try and get him to polish up.
There's no reason to take a third or fourth round guy and then hope that he knows how to play. This guy can at least play. He's not good, but he can at least figure it out.
Yeah.
He can win a game. That's I mean, look at the Vikings. We drafted a guy in whatever, the third round last year, and he can't play.
No.
Like, he can't play.
Unfortunately, he cannot.
No, but, like, that's why I'm like, if you know the guy can at least manage, you should just keep him. Especially when you're not paying him anything. He was like a third round pick anyway, so I was like, just let us in.
Yeah. It's been interesting, though. So
the other team that was making money moves today was the Jaguars, and I want to say they did it again. I feel like they do this every offseason, where they just sign 15 people.
And I don't know how they do it.
Why? Right. So Gabe Davis, Ronald Darby, Mitch Morris, Darnell Savage, Devin Duvernay.
Yeah. As overpaid of right now. For Savage. Oh my lord.
Yes, they did.
I don't
Gabe
get
Davis
that.
Was 13. Ronald Darby's wasn't much. Devin Duvernay was cheap because it was just like kick returner deal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, Mitch Morris, they're trying to improve that O-line for Trevor Lawrence.
Overall, I don't think their signings were all that bad. I think the Darnell Savage one was overpriced for sure.
Right.
But
I believe Kelvin Ridley is a free agent. Mm-hmm. So they replaced him with Gabe Davis. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, Christian Kirk was a reach 2 years ago for him. And then it's Gabe Davis. I'm like, okay. Like, Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk don't scare me at all. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're scary. I agree with that. But I don't know. There's a lot worse players that I could have on my team rather than those two.
I think, so let's just say Kirk, I think they're both getting paid like $13 million a year. That's where I'm like, okay, like, cool. $26 million, you can have those two.
Yeah. I get that too. But I don't know. When you just don't know who wants to go there, who's willing to go play with Lawrence, because I feel like the verdict
Florida,
on
man.
Lawrence is still kind of out.
Did you see the comparison of him versus Mac Jones in their career far? It was like Mac Jones has a better record, better completion percentage, more yards per attempt, and like Trevor Lawrence has like more yards or something like that. Like, I'm like, dude, they're both just bad. Bad. Because everybody, like, you see, it's like, oh, quarterback competition. Everybody's like, oh, it's Trevor Lawrence's job. It's like, they're both just bad, man. Like, they can have a competition. They're both bad.
Yeah.
That whole draft class was bad.
So, Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk. Kirk is, so I'm going off of averages.
Right.
Average puts him at 19th with $18 million a year.
Oh,
and
that's how
Davis,
much they paid Kirk?
That's on average, yeah. And then Gabe Davis was 24th at 13.
Right, 13. But Christian Kirk's paid that much. You know what I mean? Like, cool, take him. You can have Christian Kirk.
Yeah, but you look at the guys behind him, and it's just like, oh, Lord.
Evan Ingram's their best player on offense. And then it's Travis Etienne. Like, their wide receivers aren't even the second or first options.
No. But I don't know. Whatever. We'll see how it goes. You never know.
Have them for free. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else crazy. Mike Evans going for 15 seconds, though.
I think I was kind of hoping he went somewhere else, but I don't blame him for staying there. I truly value a franchise player staying there for their career. I think that's something that's just kind of done and gone in the NFL, and seeing that just is like, it's kind of a breath of fresh air, in my opinion, where you're just like, all right, there's still a little bit of that loyalty. He got a ring. He doesn't need to go to the Chiefs and just, you know, give in and sell out. So
2 points I got there. You said one was, hey, he's already got his ring. I think that's a main reason he stayed, is he doesn't have to chase a ring anymore. His Hall of Fame is probably 100%. Like, he,
I don't think he's had under 1,000 yards a season, has he?
Nope. Not since he's coming to the league, but
I
wonder when he left, if he goes, hey, I'll come back if you bring back Baker. I wonder if that's what he said, because I think he knew they weren't getting Kirk, and he's like, I ain't going with Kyle Trask. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if he said, hey, if I come back, I'll take a little less, but we're bringing back Baker. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because
the report that did come out was his wife said, hey, we're staying, and he resigned. But I wonder if it did have something to do with, hey, I want Baker back. Because that happened pretty quick right after.
I think it had to have been something like that where he was just right. like, hey, Baker needs to stay and I'll stay because right. he's 12th. You can't tell right. me that Mike Evans is the 12th best receiver in the NFL.
Right.
He's getting paid.
And he knows 20, his numbers are going down.
$20.5 million.
Right. I mean, it's still crazy, but yeah, he's worth more than that. But like I said, I wonder if it was like, hey, I'll take a little less for Baker to stay here. But I think he also knows Chris Godwin. I think he's a free agent, actually. But, or maybe he's not. Maybe they re-signed him. I can't remember what they did. They tagged him last year or 2 years ago. But, like, you can't take the most money. I know it sounds stupid, and everyone's like, well, no, go make your money. Like, what would you do? No, I'd take all the money. But, like, if you want to be on a team that's going to win, you can't take all the money. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Another thing we'll go into at some point, and I don't have the numbers and stuff in front of me, so I don't want to dig too deep into it, but I truly think that those are the teams that are able to succeed, is the teams that, you know, for example, Tom Brady, and again, I'll get deeper into this a different day, but Tom Brady taking team-friendly deals for 20 years yeah. in Foxborough and being able to bring in Randy Moss, being able to bring in this person and that person, I just, it kind of makes me scratch my head sometimes when I see these teams. Oh, new highest paid quarterback in the NFL. In my opinion, that's just like bells going off in my ear saying that these guys have 2 or 3 years and then they're going to be back to being, you know, right. maybe a playoff team and not really being able to contend.
Yep, I got a great stat on that we can hit on another podcast. But like you said, and I think a lot of it is the player saying, hey, I just want to be the highest paid. Because then you see it like a year later and they're like, oh, I restructured my deal. And you're like, well, yeah. why did you just take all the money in like Mahomes? It was like, what, after the first year and then he restructured it? And you're like, well, congrats. Like, I don't know. Like, you figured it out real quick.
That's just kind of been a head scratcher in my opinion because, yeah, you have the headline for a season, maybe two, right. that you're the highest paid player in NFL history, and then it's gone. No one's going to remember that.
Right.
You know,
I mean, you remember the Mahomes one just because it was so ridiculous. Like,
yeah, it was like 10 years or 13 or yeah. whatever years. It was just like
500 mil.
Yeah.
Astronomical
numbers. We'll remember right. that, but we won't remember, you know, Joey Burrow. What? Most yeah. likely, we won't remember him being paid the highest yeah. in the league history.
You'll remember, you'd be like, I think he was at one time. Ah, sure.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I think he was pretty well paid. I think he was up there on the list. That'll be right. the conversation. Yeah. So I just think it shoots people in the foot.
But. Yeah. One thing I did want to bring up was the Brian Burns trade from Carolina to the Giants today.
Mm-hmm.
I had one question about, like, so they traded him, and, like, that contract number came out, like, instantly of, like, what they're going to pay him. So, before, like, does the team making the trades, like, Giants are calling the Panthers? Are they like, hey, what is he asking for a contract? Like, do they get a no before they trade for him? Or they get the trade and the guy goes, I want this much. And they just got to go, yep. Like,
how I'm assuming is it's set up is that I'm assuming Burns's representation is able to go talk to other teams, sets up, hey, this is what it would be. Would you be able to pay this? Maybe. Yes. Cool. Now you can pursue a trade.
Right.
And if your trade makes sense to then do the signing, cool. We'll sign it right then. That's what I assumed right. what would happen.
I didn't think they could talk to other teams though. Unless, I guess, if Carolina gave them the go-to to do it. I just didn't think they yeah. could. And you see it all the time on these big trades. It's like instantly trade, instantly a big contract. You're like, holy crap, like, how did they figure that out so fast? But I'm like, somebody's got to tell somebody something. Like,
yeah, I think it's just that their representation is able to go and have those discussions in advance with permission from the, we'll say, team A that he started on. So
right.
But yeah,
also Brian Burns, what a fire sale there.
Oh,
like, he only got a second and a fifth. Like, did yeah. you see what they got offered last offseason for him?
Mm-mm.
2 firsts and a second.
Yeah.
Turned it down.
So
now, it was the Rams pick, and the Rams are top 10 pick, I think, this year.
Yeah.
No,
situationally,
they're not that bad,
I think it's kind of like a not great, but overall, now I think it's a decent trade Like, yeah, getting a second and a fifth is not great, but in the grand scheme of things, it's really a late first rounder and a late fourth rounder, really. You know, they're going to be picking 33rd.
Going to the Giants. Well,
but
yeah, maybe, I guess. Well, Carolina got the picks from the Giants, so it's going to be mid-second. Probably.
Oh, you're right. I had that backwards.
No, yeah, no, I was like thinking, I was like, well, you're talking like if Carolina traded that away.
Yeah. I had that backwards.
The other thing I did see, no, you're good. But like, they didn't get a first round pick for McCaffrey, and they didn't get a first round pick for Brian Burns.
Horrible franchise.
that's just terrible, terrible running of a franchise.
That's just one of those situations. Okay, go for it.
Something popped up about, Luke Combs over here. Oh, I'm trying to
find
it was like him going, oh man, I lost it. And I found it. He goes, what are we doing? No first round pick for McCaffrey a few years back, and now none for Burns? Are we just firebombing the whole team here or what? I usually don't comment on these kind of things, but it's just becoming a slow torture at this point. I'm like, welcome to being a fan of the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
That is pretty bad.
That team.
No pick for McCaffrey is pretty bad, especially Burns, too, especially when last year you had two firsts and a second, and you didn't keep the guy.
Part of their issue is they hold on to these guys too late where they know they're not going to get that high of compensation for it, which is just dumb. Like, you know what I mean?
And I think they wanted to keep
Ryan Burns. Tell me they thought that they were going to be competitive this last year. You just can't convince me that they thought they were going
to
be competitive.
According to Adam Thielen, he went there to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Just like, yeah. Well, I'll just leave that one there. But I just think it's outrageous. Bad. It's just a bad franchise. They don't know what they're doing.
I also think they really wanted to keep Ryan Burns. That's why they turned down the one last year. And then when they tagged him and he goes, I'm never re-signing here. And they go, oh, shit. Like, here we go. Now I have to go trade him.
Again, do you truly believe that they didn't know that in advance, though?
Oh, I think it's the same thing with Daniil. We want Daniil. I think when you string them along too long and don't sign them to what they want, they're just like, I don't want to deal with you anymore. You're not listening. Well,
yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, do you really think
they wanted Brian Burns.
Do you think those players are surprised by that, though? Like, you know, the players are sitting there and they're like, okay, been strung out. They're not giving me what I want. It's not even fair. I mean, and then all of a sudden they're expecting to, like, jump into a contract and be all happy and gung-ho about it when the franchise, A, is, terrible. And then, B, you get treated like garbage? No.
Right. And to be fair, it's not like they're underpaying Brian Burns. They tagged him. He's top five paid the end. Like,
yeah. Well, that's because they have
a player. Yeah, that sucks, but like, you're still getting paid. Yeah, it's a 1-year deal, but
yeah.
I don't know. Right? That's why they made the tag. I mean, it sucks.
It's just
to be
hard
on it,
to but hurt to even try and think about what.
Right,
but they're gonna
let's just say Carolina came back, so you got 5 for $150. Let's say Carolina offered him 5 for $155. You're telling me you wouldn't stay in Carolina? would. It's Carolina didn't want the price they wanted, which makes no sense to me because I'm pretty sure they traded all their big guys. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
they have all these promising, and they're like, oh, we got to sell this just so we can pay Brian Burns next year, and it's like, well, we didn't pay Brian Burns. Oh, crap. I honestly don't know who that franchise is paying. Outside of Adam Thielen, I don't know who they're paying.
Yeah.
They got a couple of linemen.
I'd have to look.
They traded for a left tackle or a left guard a couple years back. But outside of that, I can't name a single player.
Yeah. Again, I'll just end it with poverty franchise. One guy honestly was kind of in a similar situation, though, that did get paid big time. Chris Jones today. Agreed to a 5-year, $158.75 million deal with $101 million guaranteed.
Another one that's just going to get restructured in a year.
Yeah. My notes on this, as I said, Jones is a freak, no doubt about it. I think the signing for him any higher or for any less years on his contract would have made me absolutely hate the deal. I think that the length of the deal makes the high salary somewhat justifiable, but I'm truly indifferent on this deal. I think that D-end is a weird position to pay top dollar for. Getting some solid players and paying a little bit more for a pass rusher or stud linebacker just makes more sense to me.
Right. And linebackers really aren't that spendy in the NFL.
No.
Outside linebackers are, but they're just D-ends. D-ends is the highest paid in the NFL. But like Chris Jones is at that weird D-end D-tackle spot where it's like you're not a straight up D-end. Like you're not a TJ Watt or a Miles Garrett player.
That's exactly why I just find this contract so weird.
He wanted this amount of money. Like I said, he's going to restructure because all that, or honestly, that tells me that Travis Kelce or somebody's gone in a couple of years or retiring or something that we don't know.
I could see Kelce just retiring.
Well, Kelce said whenever Andy Reid goes, he's going. So.
Yeah, which that could be it too.
Right. No, and he said that on his podcast. I listened to his and Jason Kelce's podcast. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but New Heights is a pretty good one. Yeah, fantastic.
He straight up said, when Andy Reid goes, I'm going, man. He goes, if that's this season, I guess I'm done. I'm like, damn, okay.
I'm happy that Andy Reid is getting the accolades and the actual praise that he deserves for what he's done. He's killed it. And it hasn't necessarily been an easy ride the whole way through either. So
look at his tenure in the Eagles, man.
Yeah.
You were at what, NFC Championship almost every year for a while there?
Couldn't
put it together. But, big news. Joe Mixon released.
I heard that was rumored.
They just signed Zach Moss to a 2-year, $8 million deal, and then they just released Joe Mixon.
Well.
Okay, there's another target for the Vikings. It's going to be Aaron Jones or Joe Mixon. It's one of the two.
And you think that's going to be a hot...
I like
kind of strategy. Really, people are just going to pick up a guy that they can maybe save a little money and then just release who they have now.
And this goes back to the Bengals are just kind of cap strapped at the moment. They just can't figure it out. But to a team, I'm trying to think who has like some opening. I know the Vikings do. You're not paying a quarterback right now. Like we don't really have a running back either. But
don't really have much of an offense going.
We have great wide receivers, Jefferson and Addison. Great tight end, Hawkinson. Good left tackle, good right tackle. And that's about it.
Yeah, you guys' punter might be all pro this year. I'll just put it that way.
But... Hey, don't make fun of Mike Wright. Ryan Wright. Ryan Wright. He's a 6'4" and
big 250
or something like that. He's bigger than Eric Kendricks when we had Eric Kendricks. Speaking of Eric Kendricks, he got cut too.
Yeah, I did see that. He reminds me of... Gaglione, the old Badger kicker.
Dude,
absolute menace.
Gophers kicker was on the radio on my way home. Dragan Kesic, 6'5", 248.
That's a big boy.
He's from Serbia.
Yeah, you...
He was on the radio. He seemed pretty cool. I got to re-listen to it.
Get some leverage behind a kick at that height and weight.
He was saying he was hitting 64-yarders in the practice facility this week.
Yeah.
He's from Oak Grove or something like that, Wisconsin. It's on the Illinois border.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in and they're like, yeah, whatever. He goes, I want to go to the NFL, probably to the Packers.
Yeah.
He's a Packers fan. And everyone's like, hey, you know, the Vikings might have an opening in a year for a kicker.
Yeah.
So
that's another position. You know what?
Whoever wants me, I'll go to him. I'm like, I don't know. Dude seems pretty chill. I was like, man. That's a big guy, you know, like 6'5", 240 kicker.
Well, I'm trying to think of what Anders Carlson is. He's a big guy too.
They're getting to be just big guys, man.
Yeah. Let's see here.
I think he was a soccer guy, I think.
Anders?
No, Dragan.
Oh, most likely. Overseas, that sounds about right.
He moved pretty quick because he said he doesn't remember being in Serbia, but yeah.
Gotcha. Anders Carlson comes in at 6'5", 219, according to the Packers website.
A huge dude.
That is a big guy. And honestly, so he didn't have the greatest year last year, but he also, in my opinion, he wasn't horrible.
Oh.
if you look back,
missed kicking the playoff hurts a little bit. The momentum that he had through the regular season.
Of course that hurts. That's going to hurt on any team, regardless of who it is. But I really don't want the Packers to make the same mistake as the Vikings did with his brother.
Right.
You know,
well, he's made it more than 2 weeks. So,
yeah. You know, he didn't have a great start. He got cut, right? I believe he got cut right away, right?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
He missed 3 or 4 field goals in the Packers game week 1. And then I can't remember if he missed an extra point or a field goal in the second week, and we caught him after week 2.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Vegas, becomes probably the second or third best kicker in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'd argue that Justin Tucker and Young Ho Ko is probably better than Carlson, but he's in the top three, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're not touching Tucker.
I think Koo has a better percentage now. Just because they let Justin Tucker line up for 70-yard field goals.
Yeah, I just don't think that he has the leg that Justin Tucker has, but still very good option. I would agree with those three being at the top of the food chain. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's a crazy position to try and transition into the NFL with. There's a lot of like weird differences that you have to deal with, and
field goal post being a little narrower, hash marks being a little closer in.
But all right, one of the last ones. I don't know if you have anything before I wanted to ask you kind of a fun question to maybe wrap things up.
Yeah, let's do one and do your fun question. We'll wrap this up.
Cool. All right. So one question that's been popular from all sports, doesn't really matter what sport. It's just something that happens regardless. There's players that have, the title as draft bus. There's players that just go to bad fits, players that get hurt, whatever it is. What NFL player would you give a career redo button to? Oof. Whether that's them going to a different team, whether that's them getting a new chance at, maybe being a little bit healthier, whatever it is, give me the player and what you would do for them to have a successful career in the NFL.
Man, that's a loaded question. That's tough. I might have to give you one off the top. All right, I'll give you one for sure off the top of my head. I might have to start the next podcast with some research of who I really want to. But one that really came to my head right away, being a Vikings fan, is Percy Harvin.
No mercy.
Like, if you didn't have migraines, like, that dude was insane. I mean, you watch his college highlight tape at Florida, and, I mean, Cam Newton was there, and he's on the sideline, and you can hear in the video, the play call is give the ball to Percy. There is no play call. It's just give the ball to Percy. I mean, you've seen it in his NFL career of just kick returns or end arounds, running the ball, receiving. Dude was insane and ended way too fast as a Vikings fan. You're like, oh man.
I can remember watching Viking Packer games back in the day and just being like, oh no, we might not
Dude was Tyreek before Tyreek, honestly.
Yeah. We had to worry about AP, and then all of a sudden it opens up for Percy Harvin, and all of a sudden you just see that little guy zooming past you. And it was
He was Tyreek before Tyreek, and that was one. You're like, man. I don't know. Just kind of being from NDSU too. Carson Wentz would be a cool one. I mean, going from MVP votes to out of the league in 2 years is crazy to me.
Yeah.
He got a chance, and the Colts weren't built for nothing, and neither were the Commanders. It's kind of tough.
Yeah. Never really was given a chance.
After he got hurt.
Yeah.
That one's kind of tough. I'm trying to think of some other ones.
One that I'll bounce off you just because you mentioned your Vikings, I'd like to mention my Packers. What do you think if Eddie Lacy didn't eat 400 cheeseburgers in offseason and then, stayed somewhat fit?
He was good for 2 years coming out of the, just insane. You're like,
well, he was always a big guy. So it's not like he wasn't, he wasn't supposed to be Aaron Jones. He was he was there to be a big bruising back, basically a bigger version of AJ Dillon.
modern day Jerome Bettis.
Yes. That's a fantastic comparison to it too. But LeGarrette Blount,
whatever you want to call it. Big dude, stumbling and bumbling and rumbling.
Yeah. I've always thought that one would have been an interesting one if he would have been able to just keep his conditioning and weight in check, which is unfortunate, but.
Vikings, yeah. Sharif Floyd, D lineman that we took at the first round, had an ankle surgery, get all screwed up, lost nerves in his foot or something. That sucked. I'm trying to think of a couple other ones. Everson Griffin, honestly, I know he was good, but if you didn't go or have whatever mental health problems, man, that's another guy. That dude was crazy good. Him and Daniil, I remember you could move those two wherever you wanted, and it was just nuts. And there was that playoff game versus Saints that we won that they knew the Saints, outside guys are good. So they moved Everson Griffin and Daniil inside to D tackles, and they just ripped up the inside. And you're what? Who is this? So that is definitely a guy that I'm oh, man, Everson Griffin, if you could have him in his prime, oh, dangerous.
Yeah. Obviously, I'll skip over the Mike Vicks, the Johnny Manziels. Those ones are pretty clear. Everybody would have liked to see Michael Vick stay out of legal issues and Johnny Manziel get his addiction and maturity in check at an earlier date. But two more that I had. One, I feel like, is just kind of self-explanatory, Josh Gordon.
That just popped in my head when you said Johnny Manziel. Yep. Josh Gordon, yes, what a stud. Had a 13 or 1400 yard year.
Yeah.
Can't lay off the weed.
Just unable to follow the rules, I guess, which is unfortunate because now it's kind of meh, it's whatever.
Right.
But yeah, just at the time he wasn't able to. I just think he did it more so to prove something that he didn't care. But the last one I put, and I want to preface it, this person did not have a bad career by any means. By redo, I meant with just more of a contender of a team, is Luke Kuechly. I would have liked to see him, really be able to get on a team that he could have contended with and actually been, getting some more recognition that he deserved. Because that dude was so smart. He's the type of guy, you hear stories about J.J. Watt, Luke Kuechly, those types of guys, at least on the defensive side of the ball, they see a wide receiver set up in one little spot and they know exactly what play's coming. They hear a check and they saw that in week two, game film, even though it's the last week of the season.
3 years ago.
Yeah, and they're able to just instantly make that connection. It would have been very fun to watch him play for a team that actually put him in a chance to win.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that when he said Luke, there's knowing the play, just the Clay Matthews highlight with Cam Newton.
Now watch this.
Yeah, McCaffrey's running this route. Watch McCaffrey. Oh, you watch tape? So do I. Ready? You're like, what?
Yes.
Just the mind games. You're like, man, Cam Newton knew he knew the play, and he goes, we're audible in this thing. McCaffrey, you're running this route. Now watch this.
Those are the types of things that I love to watch. Love to see.
I love the in-game audio. Just that's some fun stuff to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah, I'll have to come back with a couple more redos that you're like, oh man, I forgot about that guy. But
yeah,
there's got to be a couple that I'm just missing. I can't think of off the top.
There's a lot of them, and I just tried to stick with at least people that I've personally been able to watch. Right. There's like I said, I thought
Percy was at least
tons of them. But right. Yeah,
there's a couple though. Like you said, just not even bad, but just put them on another team.
Yeah,
I mean, you could even argue Trey Lance, watching him at NDSU.
Yeah, man,
it'd be cool to actually watch him maybe play. I don't know. He really didn't get a chance to play.
Yeah,
can't blame the Niners. I mean, look at Purdy. I mean, dude's good.
Yeah,
but being whatever first round pick, and you got what 5 or 6 games, and you're like, well, nobody knows how I play.
Yeah, Shanahan was quoted one time, I guess, that he was saying he had to go up to Lynch, and he was like, hey, I don't know how to tell you this, but our third stringer is better than everybody. And what a weird conversation that would have to be.
I did that. Like, hey, our third stringer will start for us at some point. And you're like,
yeah.
Like, how do you, like, knowing that? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with McVay when they drafted Puka in the fifth round. Celebrates, goes, yep, that's our guy. He's going to be good. And you're like, what? It's a fifth round pick. Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm wrong.
I love seeing those videos. Like, another classic one is when the Eagles picked Rager right before Justin Jefferson, and the Vikings war room was just like, no way did they just do that. Like, you just handed us the best receiver in the draft. You guys are morons. And just went with it.
And that's the same draft with Jerry Jeudy. Yeah. Speaking of that, Jerry Jeudy was 10th pick, I believe, in that draft.
Yeah.
So Jeudy was taken even over CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Isn't that just nuts?
It's the Alabama receivers.
Some of them hit, man. Like Julio, like, not a problem. And then, I don't know.
I get that. There's teams like that that you can just kind of, you can gamble on certain positions that they're going to do well. No.
That's fair. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. I think that's going to wrap up episode one.
That was awesome. I had a fun time. Yeah. You know, we'll have to rehash and move on and get some new topics. Hopefully it's another hectic week of free agency.
Right. Yeah. We'll see you guys back here next week.